Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Is this one still? We've like all the studios are Skyline Studios here, right?
I look out the window. I see a skyline.
It sounds good enough for me.
There you go.
It sounds good enough for me. We've got a great show for you, as mentioned with Amy. We're going to have a little fun, make it interactive today. You know, I get a lot, as you can probably imagine, I get a lot of emails from companies and people pitching. Sometimes it's just an idea, which is fun. Sometimes it's a question, you know, do I know how to do this or that, or can you introduce me to so-and-so or such-and-such? And then there's some of them that I don't know if they're doing drugs when they send it, or I don't really, or it's just maybe just because they know I'm going to open the email and read it and then be like, what? And they're ideas. And sometimes they're good ones, just misguided. Sometimes they are legitimately good ones. Regardless, if you listen to the podcast, you're aware of this. We have this segment called The Inbox, and I do it in the middle of my podcast, and I basically just read a couple of startup pitches. And what I want to do is, I want to read a couple here. One good one, one bad. Ashley, one of these, I think, is like, got your name written all over. At least I'd love your feedback on it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. And then, you know, obviously people out there listening that are startup founders or people who have ideas, feel free to call us in, and I will literally take a pitch live on the radio here, because we've got another live pitch coming on the back half of the show where you can actually invest by going to republic.co and invest your money in them. But these are just like little seedlings, little ideas that could turn into something great. But hey, who knows? Maybe you've got a company that already is off to the races and you want to share it. So call us at 312-981-7200. And assuming you don't say anything ridiculous, I will put you on the air. That's the deal. So let's kick it to the inbox here real quick. Ashley, are you ready for this one? Okay.
Oh, I'm so ready.
So this is not crazy. It's just sort of, I feel like this exists already. And I have to be very careful when I read these, because people do not, how shall I say this? Do not filter their language. So if I read this extra slow, it's because I have to make sure that I don't say naughty words on the air. No George Carlin moment. So this is, are you familiar with Rate My Professor?
Yes, of course.
Is it still rolling? Is that
oh,
still
yeah, it's okay. Still something I check all the time.
Okay. So like my entire life, even my mom knew, like sending me to college, like for whatever reason, if it said the teacher's wonderful, he's like a grandfather, he's a grandpa. That was a dead giveaway that Scott and grandpa were not going to get along. And I don't know why that was, but if it was a sweet old man, it was sour. It was not good. So here's the deal. This is a person. First, I want to give them a shout out. Their Twitter handle is BFDND. I hope that's not inappropriate, but if so, I apologize. This is similar to RateMyProfessor.com, but now you can rate your teammates and colleagues. We have all been in a team with bleep people, always late for meetings, missing deadlines, and just free riders. You name it. LinkedIn has a place for compliments and endorsements, but they should also have a place for not so pleasant comments. Plus, during the hiring process, a company cares the most about how a candidate is going to work when he or she actually joins the team, not how they behave during the interviews. As we all know, interviews are like your first date. You give this like exceptional, I know I did, that's how I got married. I gave this exceptional presentation that I was just this wonderful put together person. And anyone who knows and loves me knows that couldn't be further from the truth. But it's the same thing in a job interview, right? People lie during their interview and on their resumes, and of course they get the job and then they're awful. So the website should provide unique perspective with regard to this. So my question to you and everyone out there listening, Ashley, is, and I know we got a call in, which is fantastic, so that'll come after the commercial break here, but what do you think of this idea? Did you catch the? I know you took a call because we're viral, folks. This show is viral. The idea here is Rate My Professor, but for colleagues. So the people you're working with, you can essentially find out if, like, you know, they're not so sweet.
I think that's hilarious. But I, you know what? I think it's funny because we kind of do that in our day to day lives with, like, people that you work with that you're friends with. You kind of go up to them and you say, "Hey, have you met so-and-so yet?" And they'll kind of be like, "Oh yeah, this is how I see them," or "they're cool," or whatever. So we kind of do that anyway.
I think we do, but like by the time you get that close, it's too late, right?
That's
you're
true.
Already employed there. So what I'm thinking here is like Glassdoor. I know that people, when we did the pod, we talked about this on the podcast, and people said back to me on Twitter, which by the way, you can follow us at Technori and follow me at Catoon on all social media, and you should. But we got feedback on Twitter saying basically like, that's Glassdoor. And I was like, no, it's not, because Glassdoor is a place like Yelp where the blog from Glassdoor is fantastic. The ratings of Great Culture and Office One just came out just yesterday on TechCrunch from Glassdoor on the top 20 companies, tech companies to work for. people usually just rag on their old employer. They don't really like use it the way it's meant to be used. And you'll hear like management's crappy or something like that, but it's not, they don't identify like Joe Smith in HR is like a real beep. So like, I think that it's like, that's an area where I think it'd be really good to know. Like if I could go work at Technori and I'm like Sam or Scott or who, like the person's name is like, or like the title person is like just not very good, then I would not take the job.
And then I wonder if, like, the person, like, I know for my professors, they'll bring up their Rate My Professor rating when I come into class because they think it's hilarious that, like, some students hate them, some students love them.
My aunt was so shallow that she would go on and write in false people and have her kids write, like, positive reviews for her.
Is she a teacher?
Everyone in my family is a teacher. My wife is a teacher. They're dear people. But, like, she literally would go and have her own family members write positive reviews, which I guess
like
tells you sort of.
Up. So I wonder if you had one of those for coworkers or teammates and all that kind of stuff, if they would change their
Their tune?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
What if they go on there and they see, oh, Joe Schmo is a bleep? They'll be like, what? And then they try to be nice.
Well, that'd be good, right? Yeah. I mean, that's positive, net positive. I love this idea. I don't know if it exists yet. I've done no due diligence on this, but I you know, I'll tell you what, if you go on equity crowdfund, I'll put some money in it. I'm just telling you. Great idea. I'm going to give you one more, and then we're going to take a quick break here. This is short and sweet. This is to Wavy 147. For people of an older age that are thinking about getting a pet, although the majority of people have a decent level of experience with animals before thinking about getting one, what if you were able to have a more in-depth visit with a breed or a potential pet you wanted? This would include some consecutive time spent together with the animal, maybe on a weekend, and after tending to the animal and seeing what the process is like, sociability, potential for training, temperament, etc., maybe it would help people make a better informed decision about owning animals, especially older people, a bit of a break for, and then give other people a bit of a break from their dog. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but isn't this what fostering is?
Yeah.
Like, essentially you get to like test the dog out, and if you want to keep it, you keep it.
Basically.
So yeah, I think
yeah,
this
people
one
do that. And then most of the time when people test out the dog, they want to keep it. So then they have like 8 dogs.
Yeah, those are, well, dog people, I've come to learn, are much better than cat people. Cat people are weird. I know Amy might have cats, but I don't, she's probably looking at me like, what the heck? Like, but no, I think this exists. It's called dog fostering or whatever it's called. Look it up. But I do think it's a good idea. If you're an older person and you have or not have a dog or a pet in a long time, you should try it out. Because I think a lot of old people in my building are really snarky about like, oh, pets, meh. They pee and poo.
If they test one.
Yeah, they love it. How do you not? And if you don't, you're soulless, in which case I want to know about it. I want to know the person next to me has no soul. That just keeps me they say that keeps you woke. That's woke. Well, anyway, we're going to take a commercial. We got to call in. Sapphire Apps Thomas Ma is calling in to pitch. He doesn't have to pitch Sapphire Apps. They did like $1 million in business last quarter. But you know what? He's going to reaffirm why it's such a great business model. We'll take a quick break. I'm Scott Catoon. We'll be back with Thomas Ma after this break. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Jack Tatoon, listening to WGN AM 720. Or if you are on a smart speaker, you are smarter than the rest of us and not using a dial-up, which is awesome. So we've got a call-in. I love call-ins. It also happens to be somebody I know, which makes me love it even more, Thomas Ma. Thomas, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing well.
Where are you at now? You're always traveling the world. I have no idea where you're at.
Yeah, I just landed in Chicago literally at midnight. Yesterday, so back in town.
From where? I saw pictures. You were next to the money man Floyd at the Clippers game. Is this correct?
Yeah, we were courtside seats 2 days ago at the Staples Center when the Clippers were playing the Mavs.
How did Luka Doncic look? He looks like he's a freak.
Oh, he was so good. It was really cool because we were like right there, and it was our first time sitting courtside seat. And he put on a show. He had a career high of 32 points.
Boom. Good game to be at. So I guess that's this is like a perfect setup for you on the show here, because we talk about startup companies that are good ideas. Some of them are not good ideas. Some of the founders are in it for the right reasons, some the wrong reasons. The second half of the show, we've got a company calling that you can invest in. You have pitched your company on our stage. And to be totally honest, I mean, you know, your story just in general is a good one for anyone. I mean, it's, you know, you were at UIC, reached out to me. You had your first idea. Was it Podium, right?
Career Podium.
And it was like, you know, not the idea wasn't going to work, whatever. But you just tell that you had the grind and the stick-to-itiveness. You were going to do it. And then you pivot over to Sapphire Apps and you get rolling with that. And I think, you know, I like your story more than most, because there are some times where you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's like you're in Chicago, mm-hmm. and you've got this idea that, for all intents and purposes, should work. Like it should be a mm-hmm. good, it should be a good business model, but it just, and I don't know if it's, if you struggled here in Chicago or not, if that was the reason. But like, it just feels to me like Chicago, there's a city, like LA is a Sapphire App city. It just feels like a place where you could make that pitch, and in 5 seconds, people are like, "Yep, I need it. I've been looking for it." In Chicago, you make that pitch, and you've got to like convince them, which is always very difficult. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, your company and idea and what you do? Because I think it's a, this is a great example for those listening as to like what it takes and how many factors go into success.
Yeah. So to start off right off the bat, we're 2 years old. We work with a lot of mobile apps company now. Like today we work with like billion-dollar companies. And what we do is we help them acquire users through non-traditional marketing. So an example is we work with a lot of meme accounts on Snapchat and Instagram. And we're beating all the programmatic methods that other brands are using. So that's what we do for them. We do really well. And then when we do really well, they just keep, you know, keep working with us. And it's been great in LA because that's where all the companies are. In Chicago, first year, it was okay, but like you said, the process is a little slower. You know, people don't necessarily make the decision just like that. So, you know, we had to venture out and find, like, our city. And then in L.A., we moved there 3 months ago officially, and it's been really, really good.
I would say so. 3 months into it, and you've got a new audience of courtside seats, so things are okay.
Yeah, the car is pretty sweet. We got that like 2 weeks ago, and I never thought I'd be driving like an Audi or anything. And it even felt weird to go into the dealership because like I didn't feel like I belonged there.
Which I think has like been your story from day one. I think the reason you're successful is, quite honestly, like there's this fake it till you make it thing that everyone talks about. It's the, they call it struggle porn for all the people listening, the Gary Vee stuff. And I know you're a big fan of Gary Vee. You follow him and you've, you know, whatever, but you've met him and so forth. But what I actually admire and I like about yours is that it's the feeling of not belonging, if that makes sense. It's not faking it. It's being like, I don't belong here. I'm not, I sat in the nosebleeds forever. And then all of a sudden when I got the ability to sit here, I only came when I belonged. And then when you belong, you know, it's just different. And I think it drives you, which I think is important for most of these founders to know. The other part I want to, you know, share from your story is the reality of, your story is two things you kind of mentioned. One, you launch a business in Chicago. For those of you who are listening who understand this, you're not, you're sort of like in the advertising, modern day advertising business. I mean, in the past, it was advertisers would put something in a magazine, they'd have a campaign, it'd be this big long thing. And that's, and Chicago was a headquarter for that. But now all the influencers, they all live on the West Coast and they all are working with the brands that are in all of the TV shows that we watch live and stream all day. And they're all in LA. And, you know, Chicago is really nothing more than a set for movies and things. It's not a place where the action's happening with regard to this, this business line. And I think a lot of business owners here in Chicago and abroad, wherever they are, start a business like yours, see some struggle and go, idea doesn't work, not necessarily take the time to think, no, the idea is totally sound, place isn't working, gotta move.
Right.
So, I mean, on your end, like, how did you make that decision? I feel like that's a tough one. We got like 10 seconds, and then, can you hang on for after the break?
Yeah, I can hang on.
Awesome.
No problem.
Right, why don't we do this? Why don't we take we have time for a break here now? Keep going longer? All right, we keep going longer. All right, this is how we do this. We'll keep going a little longer, then we'll take a break. So anyway, I guess tell me real quick here on how you were able to come to the decision to just get up and move. Because that, you know, for a person who, with your background and like you already said, you feel uncomfortable going into a dealership. I can't imagine picking up and going into a new city, especially one like LA, a city of lights.
Yeah. So the first time my business partner and I went to LA was about a year ago in March. We just saw on a Facebook group there's this marketing event, meetup happening. And I was like, okay, let's get some meetings. And we got a meeting with this like really big executive at a really big company that I won't say. Basically went in, pitched, did a month worth of research. The guy was on his phone the entire time. And it was like disrespectful to us because, you know, we're like, we're going to get this deal. It didn't happen. And then we just kept going, kept meeting people. And eventually, we found this client who was looking to try out like the meme marketing space because they were tired of Facebook and traditional method. The campaign crushed it for them, got a case study, went around to other people, and then that was a referral. And from there, it snowballed into like the bigger guys that we work with today just because of good results.
Awesome. So what I want to do is I'm going to take a break for news. We're going to come back, and I want you to, if you have the time, I'd like to have you walk us through a little bit of like the actual business and how it works so that people can understand sort of the opportunity that exists here, because I think there's like this big gloss over where we say influencer marketing and then we just like let it go. So if you can hang on, we'll do a quick break to the news and then I will come back with you. Does that work?
Yeah, that works for me.
Awesome. Very cool. It is 1:31 and 53 seconds, and we are kicking it to the news with Bob Kessler. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me is Thomas Ma. Thomas, you still with us?
Yep, still here.
Awesome, great. So we ended the show talking about your sort of transition from Chicago to LA and the opportunity, but we didn't really get down into the actual business itself and what the opportunity is, because I think you, like, I don't know how else to put this. You're like my millennial whisperer. Like, I talk to other businesses and, like, you know, I get the same pitch, you know, SaaS company, B2B play. Very few companies are in Chicago that I get to hear about that are catering to a younger audience and like specifically finding opportunities on platforms like Spotify and like Snapchat and using Instagram influencers in the way that you do. So share with us a little bit about the actual business that you run and how it works and what opportunities are there for others.
Yeah, it's quite simple. Really, we ask people like, hey, what do you get for your targeted user? What type of users are you seeking? How much are you spending? From there, we're like, okay, here's our cost. We can beat it. Let's run a test. And then from there, you just multiply the number of users. You know, like let's say a user's $1 and we run a test for like 10,000 users. It's like there's 10 grand. All right, get them the users. They analyze the users. If they like it, they renew with us. So that's kind of the motto that we work with. And it's quite well when companies are beating, you know, what they use on Facebook ads or other platforms.
So can I ask you, on your side, let me ask you. So we use Facebook. I used to use a company called Dose locally here in Chicago. Really like what we got with them, you know, depending on what you're into. So like for us, you know, it's more content and it's obviously getting people to want to find out and learn more about tech, which ultimately is to get them to want to be more involved in investing in startups and so forth. So for us, like there's like a B2B play in the sense that it's business, right? Like it's businesses investing, but it's B2C at the end because consumers are the ones that we're catering to say, do you like tech and do you want to be an investor or just learn more about it? And what we found out was, I ended up hiring one of the people away, Rachel from Dose, and she's amazing, at Facebook. She's amazing at maximizing our dollars. We probably get an extra 20% in every single ad that we run for Facebook. But Instagram and the others, we, you know, we're still trying to figure that out. And one of the things that we've been able to offer our clients is if you come on my show, and I think you've been on, well, you're on the show right now, but like you've been on the podcast, most of them take that show and they put it on Facebook and they just hit boost, or they put it on whatever platform and they just boost it, which gets them nothing other than, you know, money spent. And we offer them the ability to run that same ad, but through our audience that we've cultivated on Facebook and have sort of a pretty good understanding of what the cost of acquisition is. And that's our opportunity that we pass through to people, which I think is kind of similar to you, but you take it like 10 leagues further. Talk to me a little bit about how you, some of the tactics and things that you are using to be able to do this.
Yeah. So it all starts out with content. And if you're using Instagram or Snapchat, the biggest thing is, writing text at the top and at the bottom, kind of like a call to action, so that when the user sees it on a meme page, for example, it blends in with what they're, you know, accustomed to. And if you want it to work with a meme page, it's really simple to reach out to these people. You can just research on Instagram and just type in keywords like inspiration and see these accounts. If you want to work with them, you simply DM them and you basically see their pricing. Now, the trick is you just got to be really good with your content. That's where people stand out, because if you have bad content, it's not going to reach people. And to thrive on like social media, you need like likes and comments and saves.
What is good content versus bad content to you? I mean, because I hate to oversimplify, but I I personally believe, like, human nature is human nature. It doesn't really matter what the business is. The demographic of people who are kids listening to this versus adults listening to this, not this show, but, like, whatever it is that they're listening to, there's a certain call to action that you're going to get people to jump in, and with your content style, how do you...
Yeah.
How do you, like, you know, there's, like I've said, like, it's a smell test. You see, like, that's just lazy content. That's not good. What do you look at mm-hmm. for, like, a quality difference?
Well, it's just simplicity. From experience, we in the past, we try to use high-end content that the clients made. It always failed because it looked like a really clean ad. I mean, but if you look through the feeds and stuff, all of a sudden, if you're seeing simple videos, that shifts the eye, and the user just doesn't like that. So what we learn is...
It's inauthentic.
Just record a video on your iPhone and just literally just put it through a meme editor or something on a Premiere or any websites online. Play with the text and play with the emojis.
That's that simple.
Yeah, I like to, like, simplify. It's, like, not complex. It's just you have to work on your copy, and then you have to track, like, if you put it on X account for 24 hours, how many clicks are they sending to your website? Are those users converting? So you gotta be like, you gotta make sure you have everything attributed, or else you can waste money, which is no fun.
Do you remember that day when you came in our office and I asked if you needed to raise money?
Yeah.
You said no. You still say no, don't you?
Yeah.
I love it. I absolutely love it. You guys are killing it. congratulations on the success. Hopefully, I'll see you this week before you head back to LA.
Yeah, sounds good, Scott. Thank you, Thomas, for letting me be on the show.
Of course. Take care, buddy. Have a good one. Have a good holiday.
All right, bye.
Okay. All right, so we're going to take another break here. We're going to come back with the Fluid Project, as mentioned. They're a startup showcase company. You can go on republic.co/register, and you can connect your bank account and throw all your money into these startup companies, which is a crazy idea, but if you've got plenty of money to blow and you want to make a big pop, this is one way to do it. So we'll be back after this. I'm Scott Catoon. You're listening to WGN Radio AM 720. Welcome back to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. I say this every single time I come back from commercial, in case you forget. We've got Rob Smith. He is the founder and CEO of the Fluid Project. What's going on, Rob? How are you doing?
What's up, Scott? How are you doing? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you for making the time on a Saturday. You'd be shocked. This is like one of those dates that I circle. Thanksgiving's another one. New Year's is another one that I circle for founders. Are they real or are they fake? And the ones that are willing to come on the holiday breaks are the ones I know that are in it to win it. I'm serious.
I'm in it to win it, man.
Absolutely in it to win it. It's so true, because, like, I was one of those. I am one of those founders who had to dig through and work on Saturdays, and I'm amazed when I see a guy, like, looking for a break and, like, yeah, but if you could make that break work for me, you know, like, not on the holiday, it'd be great. It's like, breaks don't work. They're called breaks for a reason. Like, it's got to break right for you when it's right, not when it's right for you. So I appreciate you taking
the time. I get a chance to talk about Fluid, I'll do it anytime I can.
My guy, that's what I'm talking about. So let's get the heavy lifting out of the way first here. So republic.co slash the Fluid Project, correct?
That's right. And hey, just so everyone knows, Fluid spelled with a PH.
Correct.
Fluid Project. So the origin of the name says everything about who we are. So Fluid is about the space in between the binary, and it, you know, binary between ideas, gender, whatever it is. It's about living a life of fluidity and flowing and ebb and flowing, not being stagnant. And PH represents balance, and the balance in each of us, and in this case, the gender balance between masculine and feminine, and project, because it's a work in progress, trying to make something better. So that's the origin of the name, which basically says the mission of the company.
Very cool. So you guys are raising money via Republic, which is equity crowdfunding, as I've said many times on the show. I'm a huge fan of equity crowdfunding, and Republic has been a partner for a long time. We love the platform. We love there's other platforms out there too, and they're just as good for different reasons. But
sure.
You can go to republic.co/register right there. You can go to republic.co/thefluidproject, and you can look and learn more about this in depth. It's on our Facebook page at Technori, so go check us out at Technori, and you can search to your heart's content. So Rob, here's something.
It's on our website too, Scott. It's also on our website. If you go to the just type in PHLUID, we pop up, and it's also on our website as well.
Perfect. What's the website?
So it's just type in, if you Google search Fluid, PHLUID, we pop up. It's www.thefluidproject.com. But that's a lot of letters, so just type in Fluid
just
and we pop up.
Type in Fluid with a PH, and you should be good. Okay, so here's
that's
how this
right.
works. We've got, you're going to have one minute. 1 minute to pitch to pitch the Fluid Project. But here's what I need to know. I need to know what, you know, what the problem was, what you're trying to solve for. I need to know how what you're doing is going to solve for it. And I need to know how you make money doing this. That's what I need to know. So you have 1 minute.
Absolutely.
Starting right meow.
You got it. So I call it the store of the future. So retail is dead. It's boring. We are reinventing retail and doing it a couple of different ways. First of all, we do it through a gender-free platform. So there's no boys or girls section. Young people, Gen Z, look beyond the binary when they're identifying themselves. 60% of Gen Z shop in an area other than that specifically designed for them. So we don't just do that, but we're also a community space. 5 nights a week, we do a panel discussions, fundraisers, meetings, get people talking about how to change the future. And how we monetize ourselves, we've already done, we do $100,000 a month. We'll do almost $1 million this year. And I look at expanding in flagships, 15 around the world. So people believe in this. They believe in purpose. They believe in mission. And I'd say if you invest in us, you invest in the future, because we're not just trying to change the world with the clothing. We're trying to change the world through ideas and values and purpose.
Very
How's
cool.
that?
Very cool. Well done. So tell me a little
Thank
bit about
you.
The actual, you know, like what was it about this that you decided to take this mission on? What is your story in this?
Yeah, my story is 30 years in retail. I've had a great career working for companies like Macy's, Victoria's Secret, Nike, Levi's. I've only run billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar businesses. I have run global businesses. And the origin of this is I went to Burning Man my first time. And if you know what Burning Man is, I found out who I was and kind of had a time hard time being anything other than my authentic self. People say don't quit your job after your first Burning Man. I came back and quit my job, went on a trip around the world, and on this journey, the Fluid Project was born. It was like this moment where like, this is exactly what I was supposed to do with myself. So I've self-funded the business to this point. I've put my entire life savings into it. And I feel like I have a sense of purpose. And I finally found a place to bring my voice and to represent a community that needs representation.
I've got two questions for you. Are you married?
Sure. I am. 10 years.
And there was no problems with the life savings thrown in deal?
You know, we're two grown men who have two separate, we have, you know, a house together, but we also have separate, I wouldn't lie, there's some stress right now, but my husband is fully supportive of what I'm doing, and he still has his money. I have money. I spend it how I want to spend it, and this is what I decided to do. And I would never change it. And it's tough sometimes, but it feels really good.
I was going to say, what's the secret? Because like my wife is incredibly understanding of my career choices, or at least she puts on a good show for it. She's literally sitting in the green room probably muting this right now.
He's an entrepreneur himself. Like, he's done the same thing, and this is my chance to do. He's an architect. He develops YMCAs, and he does what he loves doing, and he's got purpose built into his career, and he's just so happy that I have found a way to bring purpose and meaning into my career.
So you're more of a risk taker than I am, because like I married a teacher. I come from a family of teachers, but I married a teacher because I felt like I was like there's never been an edge I didn't like to look and peek over, and like maybe even jump off of. So like to me, it was like nice to have somebody who could like keep that in check and was like, you know, little checks and balances. And but also to your point though, like your husband has the a solid, you know, financial situation going on that kind of allows you to take some more risks, and she has the same for me. But it's just always interesting. I find it very interesting to me when I interview founders, because the spouse question comes in, the partner question comes in frequently, in the sense that like a lot of times founders either are both of them are entrepreneurs, or like one is and the other one like doesn't quite know how much of a risk is being taken. And it's always interesting to me on the front end of it, like how much they talk about that. So it's cool to know that you've got somebody that like is like all in it with you, which leads to the next question for me. And that is the Burning Man thing. So one of our first investors is a huge Burning Man fan. In fact, if you go to our Instagram on Technori, we've got a shirt he made with Technori's Technori logo on it, whatever, Technori brand on it, that he made in Burning Man. Which is, if you look at the picture of the shirt, you're going to know everything that you need to know about Burning Man. But The thing is, like, I know a lot of founders. A good friend of mine, Corbett from Popular Pays, is a big Burning Man dude. You know, the Akuba guys are Burning Man. Like, a lot of founders that have been on the show have done Burning Man. And you made a comment on your way out of that, of the story, saying they say don't quit your job after your first Burning Man. And I just want to know, like, what was it about Burning Man or about yourself that you found that made you be like, okay, like, this is authenticity? What were you not doing before that you're doing now?
I think I was doing pieces of it, but it never came together in one entire place. So, first of all, the society, the way people live and care for each other, the way that, you know, I lived a life where people knew my name, but more importantly, they knew my title, they knew how much money I made, they knew how much money I could donate to, you know, charities or politicians. And you know, there's a certain piece where people just take from you and take from you. And at this, at Burning Man, people just see you. They saw me as Rob, or even if they knew my name, they didn't know where I was from, what I did. They just saw me as me and like me, and I like me. I realized that I really like myself. For maybe the first time in my entire life, I really liked who I was. I love the freedom, and I love the community. And So I also loved watching, which how it applies to this business, how quickly in gender expression and gender identity as a social construct, how quickly straight guys were adapting to this culture, you know, that with day one they were wearing cargo shorts and a t-shirt, by day four they were in tights and a tutu and glitter makeup. And it just showed me that if we work together, we could create a society that's as close as possible to Burning Man. And that's what I've created without the drugs, you know, that this exists. This exists, this place of nirvana. People walk into Fluid and they're like, wow, everyone's so nice. They don't want to leave. I'm on the floor, like, helping customers. They're like, well, how do you get to London? How do we get you to, you know, Italy or Greece? It's really special. It's a really special place. Burning Man was the impetus for it.
What was the first thing you did after Burning Man when you started your business? Like, what was the first part of, like, all right, how do I bring this experience that I got here and make it something others can experience in little bits? Like, I'd love to know how you were able to create that experience, because obviously your background in managing brands should have helped tremendously. But one of the unique things with managing big billion-dollar brands is that, like, they're kind of known, minus this recent Nike Colin Kaepernick thing, they're kind of known for not taking shots like that, and you're taking a pretty big shot. So what was the, how did you come up with that idea of, like, what I'm going to do to get people to be able to see this picture?
Well, first of all, I found a location that was in a visual space. I didn't want to hide it. Found a corner in NoHo on Broadway, which is big windows, the 3,000 square feet. I wanted people to just not be able to miss it. Like, I wanted people to have to walk by and face it, whether they wanted to see it or not. I created a product that was accessible. About a quarter of our business is that we have an open house every Tuesday from 11 to 12. We have new designers, new artists come in and show us what they have. And about a quarter of my business is showcasing these artists and designers, giving them a platform and a store to showcase, whether it's online, they only have online product, or they're a photographer, or they're an artist who does performance. We give people a platform to share their art and their creativity, which feels really good. That's part of something that came from Burning Man as well. And then I've devoted a third of the upstairs square footage to community space, the cafe and leisure seating, and then downstairs is a community space. Right now there's a group of actors who are practicing their theater performance downstairs. So everything is not just selling clothes. That's just the front of who we do. And when you really get into it, we're having panel discussions. We're cultivating and giving artists an opportunity to do their craft.
Very cool. It's actually interesting to me because we've had a good friend of mine, Aristotle Loomis, on last week. And he was talking about, so, like, he did a deal with Marcus Lemonis, and he was on the show The Prophet. And one of the main things that we talked about, I don't even know if we talked about it on the show, but we talked about it backstage, was the idea of creating experiences out of retail, and how groups like Toys R Us and others that have gone under have done so more or less because they left nothing to the imagination. They left no imagination. They had these boxes that were just empty, and the products are sitting there. And they didn't take the time to reimagine, like, how could I make this an experience that people would absolutely love, regardless of the clothing or whatever they're going to buy. Or in fact, there doesn't even have to be any sort of thing between the two. You can just be here and do this and experience life in a cool way, and then if you buy stuff, great. I love seeing more of those things. You guys are doing a great job of it. One last time, if you could plug where people can go to learn more about you and how to invest.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of letters. I'll just make it easy. Just go to Google, type in PHLUID. We pop up. If you go to Instagram, type in PHLUID, we pop up. And I would just say, you know, for me, this is the movement that's happening. And we're an opportunity. We're a space that has people come together as a community. And, you know, I have big ambitions. My ambition is to help change the world and make it a place that's more accepting and tolerant and caring and allowing people to be their authentic self. That's what I care about. And I do believe you can build a company on that. And not like most companies back into it, I believe it's possible to build it from the beginning, from ground up.
Very cool. Awesome, Rob. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Scott. I really appreciate it. Have a great holiday, all right?
You do the same. Take care, buddy.
Take care. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's our show today. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back with Dane Neal.